The days of a U.S. economy are done. Now we're in a global economy. In this information-packed CD, best-selling writer, producer, and entrepreneur, Davin Michaels, shares all the ins and outs of outsourcing. Davin shares everything from how he outsourced his first employee overseas to how he created 123 Employee, one of the premier staffing centers in the Philippines. Could your business profit from doubling its revenue and cutting its expenses in half? In today's business environment, you must compete or get eaten. This CD will arm you with the tools and information you need to compete with the big boys. Now it's time for Outsource This, written by Davin Michaels and read by Rick Glaspie.
Welcome to the audio program. Now, before we get started, there's one very important thing I want to get clear with you. If you're someone who thinks hiring employees for your business overseas is un-American, I need you for a moment to broaden your scope. Here's one very important distinction that you need to know. You are more than an American. I'm going to repeat that one more time. You are more than an American. So what's that mean? It means that it's time we stop thinking as just Americans. You are not just an American. You are a human being. And this is the one thing that you share with all the human beings on this planet. If you think that taking a job away from an American citizen and giving it to someone in, let's say, the Philippines is un-American, I'm afraid you're mistaken. America was built on helping its fellow man, woman, and child. We're all human beings on this abundant, big blue marble that we call Earth. When you hire, let's say, a Filipino in Manila, you're hiring someone that has way less than you could ever imagine. Less opportunity, less means, less worldly possessions. They're almost always, without exception, using these wages to support themselves, their brothers and sisters, children, and extended families. You're doing a great deed. They are your brothers and sisters, as we all are brothers and sisters on this planet. My brothers and sisters are all over the world, not just in the U.S., as I am not only a proud American, I'm also a proud citizen of our planet. On a humanitarian level, we need to have this broader view. And on a business level, we must always have a global perspective, or honestly, you're going to get lost in the dust. When you're done listening to this audio, you'll have all the knowledge you need to make an informed decision. You'll be able to make the decision whether hiring employees overseas is right for you. You may decide that outsourcing is right for your business, or you may not. But I have little doubt that by the end of this audio, you won't think it's wrong for our world. In this audiobook, I'm going to share with you a snapshot, if you will, of today's economic climate, and show you why you must have a global perspective. We'll discuss whether or not outsourcing is right for you, and we'll talk about how to get started staffing overseas. I'll share with you ways to evaluate outsourcing companies, and we'll go over some of the nuts and bolts of outsourcing. And finally, we'll conclude with a bonus section on our affiliate program, and I'll show you how you can make money while you sleep by simply sharing our company with your clients. Okay, well, let's get started. As I'm speaking to you right now, I'm in a small recording studio on the island of Bohol, which is one of the 7,107 islands that comprise the Philippines. One thing that has become abundantly clear to me is that while I'm basking here in the sunshine on this pristine white sandy beach, the United States is facing some extremely serious challenges. While the Internet has allowed people to work together over long distances within the U.S. in ways that couldn't even have been imagined 10 years ago, this same technology allows the same thing to happen on an international basis. You know, it's almost a common joke for stand-up comedians to talk about how they call an American company for some kind of service question on a product, and the customer service rep has a strong accent from a nation like India. Well, this is happening because of the tremendous amount of money that can be saved by outsourcing. And this isn't limited to just customer service jobs. Almost any job that doesn't require face-to-face contact with a customer or other domestic employees can theoretically be outsourced. When you think about it, there are very few jobs that couldn't be outsourced. Let's face it, the government is in a desperate scramble to try and make things appear a little rosier than they are. And one tool that the government has at its disposal is to use its various options to influence the currency so that the dollar goes down in value. By doing this, the prices from other nations then don't seem quite as cheap, and it takes more dollars to procure products and services from them. Part of the idea behind this lowering of the dollar is that it will allow American companies to compete more directly with other third world countries like China. However, there are some substantial risks that are incurred when implementing a strategy like this. One of the things that America prides itself on is a strong middle class. These other third world countries don't have much of a middle class. There's basically two sectors, the wealthy and the poor. If America attempts to compete with these nations by lowering prices, there's a chance that the numbers of wealthy compared to the poor could widen. The goal of this policy is to increase manufacturing jobs in the U.S., but what really happens is only a cosmetic improvement. When the U.S. dollar weakens, exports do increase. However, the reality is that many of the goods that we're selling have still actually been manufactured overseas, imported to the U.S., and then shipped to the purchasing nation. So while there may be an increase in income for domestic American companies and perhaps a limited number of jobs created to manage this process, the real goal of increasing high-paying manufacturing jobs has just not been accomplished. What actually happens is that the middle class in the United States starts to have less and less buying power. And as people have less buying power, inflationary pressures will become worse. The only companies that will prosper from this turn of events are the largest conglomerates. By being able to recognize the state of the current economic realities, the only way the smaller business person can compete is to find ways to be able to go head-to-head with the big guys. And the only way you'll be able to do that is through capitalizing on opportunities to lower your costs. There's probably no better way for almost any company to lower costs and become more competitive than by outsourcing. If you have any kind of customer service needs, there's no reason why you can't outsource. The costs are so much lower, you'll simply be shocked at how much money can be saved without sacrificing quality customer service. I'm sure that if you're an employer here in the U.S., you know how insanely expensive it is to keep and maintain employees. There's the high payroll taxes, workers' comp, health benefits, unemployment taxes, the list goes on. The costs to have a regular employee are simply staggering. On top of all the excessive costs, it seems like there's been a shift in the mentality of workers. Instead of taking pride in their work and being loyal to employers, today's employees waltz into work with an air of entitlement. They almost have a "what have you done for me lately" mentality. What all of this leads to is that if you have employees in the $10 per hour range or less, it's almost a certainty that you're experiencing high turnover, low productivity, and low reliability. What you need to know is that there's a whole world out there. The fact is that there are places you can go where you can have a staff of employees who get to the office on time, are college educated, literate, articulate, and ecstatic to have a job. These employees take pride in their work, and they're only eager to please. The result of this is that you get highly efficient employees that don't need a lot of supervision to get a top-notch job done, as opposed to the U.S., where the minute you turn your back, your employees are surfing the web, texting their friends, and any number of other unproductive activities. But the news gets even better, because in these other domiciles, you can pay these employees $5 to $6 an hour instead of $10, and you don't need to worry about paying payroll taxes or workers' compensation. So there's a ray of hope for the smaller business person. You can capitalize on the opportunity to outsource, just like the big national corporations. But you shouldn't wait around to see if things are going to turn around here in the U.S., because they're not going to. The writing is on the wall, and astute business people know when it's time to take action. In the next sections, I'll be sharing with you all the insider information that I've learned, so you'll be able to navigate your business efforts to outsource in the most efficient and effective manner. Let's talk for a moment about the politics of outsourcing. About once a week or so, I get an email accusing me of stealing American jobs, causing the decline of the U.S. economy and being unpatriotic. Well, I want to say right here and now, that's absurd. This is actually a very simplistic view, and it's just not right. If you look more closely, below the surface of all the issues, you'll find there's many valid counter-arguments to these allegations. First of all, by outsourcing some functions of a U.S.-based business, it allows that business to function more efficiently. This leads to improved profitability, which allows for more jobs to be created domestically. And it also allows the company to do a better job of responding to its customers' needs. In addition, the added profits that are created are then invested in the domestic economy for things like advertising and administrative services. When this money's pumped into the economy, it has a ripple effect as it moves across the entire domestic economy. What's more, most of the outsourcing companies themselves are owned by U.S. citizens. So the profits that these companies make are also injected into the U.S. economy by the management and investors. Again, this money that's pumped into the economy causes a chain reaction of economic activity. As all the businesses that reap revenues from the profits being spent as a result of U.S.-owned outsources take that money and spend it on their business needs. For example, our outsourcing company purchases American-made computers, software, and related products and services, all from American-owned companies. In addition to that, since our company is a U.S.-based corporation, it also pays 34% of its profit in taxes. This money is, of course, collected by the federal government and benefits all of our citizens. As a consumer, if you look back 10 or 15 years ago, it was commonplace to make a customer service call to a toll-free number for a company and then wait as long as 30 minutes, maybe an hour. In fact, today you can still experience these excessive hold times when you're dealing with American companies that don't outsource. However, increasingly today, there are many companies that have a live person answering your call in under a minute. And the majority of these customer service improvements can be directly attributed to effective outsourcing. It's easy to see that when companies can provide this kind of improved service, or even small companies can offer things like live 24-hour customer service, that it's going to improve both top-line revenues and bottom-line profits. These increased revenues and profits help improve and drive the economy. Another extremely relevant point that is often overlooked is that these foreign workers, who are now getting paid what is to them a generous wage, also spend money on U.S. goods and services. For example, there's a McDonald's that's adjacent to our company's facilities that opened up 24/7 to accommodate the employees that work at our company. A certain percentage of the profits that this McDonald's makes is returned to the U.S. economy. Another major benefit of outsourcing is that the American companies that use outsourcing reap many rewards. Naturally, there's the obvious reward of lowering expenses, but in addition to that, there's the benefit of being able to procure a large supply of dedicated workers. Now, I know from my own experience running my company in the U.S., it's just really hard to get good employees when you're paying $10 an hour. I know it's not just me. I talk with other small business operators, and they complain about the same thing. They talk about how they spend 2 months training a new employee, only to have him quit when he's finally learned how to do the job well enough to be useful. Let's face it, many of the people that are working for these wages in many areas of the country aren't supporting families. They're frequently just people trying to put some extra cash in their pockets. They could be college students or anybody else that isn't depending upon that money to feed and house their families. Ultimately, when you have people that aren't supporting their family from the wages you pay them, they're just more likely to suddenly quit when something else comes up. However, when you take the average employee who works for an outsourced company, the exact opposite is true. Not only are these people usually supporting their own family, but quite often they have an extended family they're supporting too. These are people that are dead serious about their jobs, and they're thrilled to have them. When you have American companies that can hire these kind of employees who work for half the money and are twice as dedicated, it's pretty easy to see how that it makes the companies healthier and more profitable. And again, when these companies are healthier and more profitable, they contribute to the American economy because they have more money available for other expenditures that aren't outsourced and to invest in growing their businesses here in this country. Okay, just to be devil's advocate, let's address what other critics might ask. Okay, so for those employees that aren't dedicated and just up and quit, who cares if their job moves overseas? But what about the low-wage employee here who is a good worker? When companies such as retailers, for example, are able to save money by outsourcing, they're able to increase their profits. And when these companies increase their profits, they reinvest the money into growing their businesses. So if they open new stores here because they save money by outsourcing some jobs overseas, there are new lower-wage jobs being created here in the United States that wouldn't have been created if it wasn't for outsourcing. So while there may be a loss of some low-wage jobs from outsourcing, there's also an increase of other types of low-wage jobs here. So in fact, the notion that moving these jobs overseas causes a decline in the number of available jobs in the U.S. is just not true. While we've talked about some of the benefits to the American economy from larger companies outsourcing, I really want to point out how much opportunity outsourcing can offer small businesses. There are about 20 million businesses in the U.S. that don't have any employees other than the owner. In many cases, these businesses might be making enough profit to support the owner, but it's very tough for the owner to try and expand because of capital constraints. One of the key ingredients for a company to be able to expand is to have an adequate workforce so the company can handle an increase in business. And quite often the cost of recruiting, training, and maintaining new employees is just too much for these small businesses to cover. But with outsourcing, they can reduce these costs a great deal. Then, as companies are able to grow because they outsource some of their labor needs, they also contribute to the domestic economy of the United States by adding other new jobs and by generating more profits that are invested into the economy. This is really critical when you remember that in today's U.S. economy, small businesses, not large companies, are driving the economy. After all, only 40% of the jobs available in the U.S. come from companies who employ over 500 people. First, let me share my first plunge into outsourcing. To be frank, I was feeling a little cautious when I decided to do an experiment and outsource my first employee. So I gave it a try with just one of my companies, and then I had two more of my companies give it a try. And to my pleasant surprise, these outsourced employees hands down put their U.S. counterparts to shame. This program was so successful for my companies that I eventually outsourced every job in the customer service areas of my companies. What I found was that by freeing up my time, by not having to deal with so many of the cumbersome tasks that go along with managing low-wage employees, I was able to spend more time on what I should be doing. Important things like growing new business opportunities, marketing, and planning strategies for growth. By doing this, I suddenly created many new jobs for overseas employees with my new growth. And I ended up creating new management jobs here in the U.S. to oversee all of the outsourced operations. So the end result was that some low-wage jobs here in the United States vanished, but at the same time, new higher-wage management jobs were created in the process. Also, let's not forget that besides the new domestic high-wage jobs that I created, I indirectly helped new jobs to be created in the United States because I suddenly had more revenue, which created available capital to invest. This money was spent on vendors here in America in things like increased advertising. Is outsourcing right for you? Well, I don't think there's a more perfect person to help you answer that question than me. You see, as you might already know, I run several different companies. Several years ago, I'd been finding that my personnel problems had really been worsening. I was having trouble finding qualified help. And even when I did, the help that I was finding had attitudes that were just worsening all the time. One of the problems was that I was competing with very large companies that were able to pay more than I could, so I was getting stuck with the bottom of the barrel. I knew I had to find some kind of edge. Before I started outsourcing overseas, I came up with the idea of placing some ads on Craigslist, seeking some virtual employees. You know what I mean, looking for the kind of people that could work from their homes but could handle many of the tasks my company needed getting done, such as customer service, accounting, payables, and technical support. I got quite a few resumes, and some of the candidates were promising. I was actually able to hire a few of these candidates, and I was able to save money on my labor costs. But at the end of the day, I wasn't able to resolve all of my problems. Coincidentally, right about this time, I was forwarded an email from an old friend. He thought I might find it interesting. The subject matter for this email was finding employees overseas. This email from a company in Asia stated I could hire top-notch employees for about $5 to $6 an hour. Naturally, as I was going through so many struggles to find good labor, I was quite intrigued, so I picked up the phone and made a call. To my pleasant surprise, I ended up on the phone with the owner. This gentleman was an American, and he was quite forthright and helpful. We spoke for quite a long time, as I had a myriad of different questions for him. I didn't know if it was politically inappropriate, but since we were talking about my livelihood, I felt I needed to ask the tough questions. I asked him if the accents of the foreign workers would present a problem. He told me that in the part of the world he was, it wasn't a problem. Everyone he employed spoke English quite articulately and could be easily understood. Besides, he pointed out these days so many people from all over the United States are from different countries, and there are so many accents that an average American encounters in his daily life anyway, that they're quite accustomed to speaking with people with accents. He also explained that his company, and all reputable outsourcing companies, administer some substantial and rigorous tests just to make sure that prospective outsource employees can speak, read, and write English well. In fact, they'll also allow the client, the American company, to administer any additional tests it feels are needed to determine the competency level of the outsource employee. What was also explained to me was that I shouldn't think of these employees as call center workers, but I should think of these employees as my back office employees, and I should train them accordingly. What I thought was really interesting is that I was directed to the company website, where I was able to log on and watch the actual employees at work through a real-time webcam. So if you wanted, you could be using a webcam showing your employees working all day long. Another great thing that I found out was that included in my hourly rate that I paid for an employee was a lot of extras that really save you a lot of money. For example, included in the hourly rate is the computer the employee's using, his phone line, any internet usage or bandwidth. All of these things add up to hundreds of dollars a month that you have to pay for in addition to the hourly rate here in the U.S. Using outsourced employees, it's all included in that one low hourly rate. So you can literally save hundreds of extra bucks besides just the lower wage costs. And let's not forget that if you have employees at your business, you need to have office space for them, parking, desks, on and on. When you add up all of these savings, it's almost like you're getting the employees for free when you outsource. With payroll being one of the largest expenses of many companies in our new service-based economy, the savings that can be had from outsourcing can change the entire outlook of a company. Another huge benefit that you might be able to appreciate as a small business owner is that by taking these employees out of my office, I just don't get sucked into trivial personnel matters, like when I had a clerical staff in my office. By having quality management at the outsource facility, which I do, I simply don't end up being involved in little problems. This leaves me free to spend my time on what I should be doing, making decisions and implementing strategies that increase my bottom line. So I decided to take the plunge. Everything this guy was saying made so much sense to me, and since I'm willing to give new things a try, I decided to move forward and give it a try. The first thing we did, which was actually very interesting, was to interview candidates who might work for me. The outsource company lined up about 10 candidates, and I conducted interviews. So I was interviewing the pre-screened applicants who the outsource company felt would be the most likely to meet the needs of my company on the phone. I had conducted my first 4 or 5 interviews, and they'd gone okay. None of the candidates were awful, but nobody was really impressing me. when suddenly the next candidate got on the phone. I was completely shocked because he not only had no accent, but he had a voice like, well, a television announcer. He sounded so good I thought he might have been an American. So I asked him, hey, you an American? And he explained that he was not, but he had been working on the radio for the last 4 years as an on-air personality and had been developing his voice. So I went ahead and interviewed him, and I learned about his skills. He was more than qualified. So I made the decision to hire him right then and there. He started working for me the next day, but unfortunately I wasn't quite ready for him. We had a lot of things going on at my office that needed my attention. So I had him doing a lot of really menial tasks for the first couple days. And then he developed some transportation problems, and although the outsource company was very quick on the draw to resolve any problems, just didn't seem to be working out. So I decided again that maybe I should try Craigslist. I did a posting, found a couple of seemingly qualified people, and put them to work. But what had happened was I'd gotten the taste of having people work for me for half the cost. And so while these latest American workers were doing an okay job, I couldn't help but think about how much I would be saving if I switched to overseas workers. So it wasn't long before I decided to take another whack at the outsource option. Within hours, the outsource company had lined up new candidates for me to interview. This time, I selected a candidate named John. He didn't have that smooth DJ voice, but he sounded fine, and he was smart and college-educated. I hired John and began to train him. What I did differently this time is that I had a webcam over his desktop so that as I spoke to him and trained him on the phone, I could actually see what he was doing. Additionally, I had another remote computer screen set up so I could see what he was actually doing on his computer. What would happen is that when I needed to get off of a training call with him and do some other work, I could still see what he was doing on his computer. And I have to tell you, I was blown away. This guy would get off the phone with me, and he would start typing away for an hour, making detailed notes of everything I'd taught him, and all of it was verbatim. I'd never seen anyone do anything like that before. I was really optimistic he'd be great, and he has been. He still works for me today. And even though I have my own call center now, with plenty of employees here and overseas, John is still my favorite employee. I love this guy. The great thing is that when you have a good employee overseas and you want to reward him for a job well done, it's so easy to give them a meaningful bonus. This same employee, John, frequently gets high production bonuses from me, which nearly double his salary. Now, that may sound like a lot, but his whole monthly salary is only a few hundred dollars. So when I give him that bonus, it still costs a fraction of what a U.S. employee would cost, and he's so much more productive. Paying this kind of money to these workers like John allows them to live an upper-middle-class lifestyle and maybe help their family in all sorts of ways. When I see John's face on bonus day, it's really gratifying to me, and yet it costs me so little. Well, I think at this point, a pretty strong argument has been made for the myriad of reasons why you should be outsourcing your customer support, tech support, and sales to overseas domiciles. The great thing about outsourcing is you really don't need to make a commitment to immediately transfer all of your employees overseas. In fact, you can do just what I did. Start with just one. Now, on the other hand, if you're already familiar with outsourcing your employees to the other side of the United States or maybe Canada, you might be ready and more comfortable to make a large foray into the overseas option immediately. Once you've decided to take the plunge, you've got to decide which country would be the most suitable for your outsource company to be located in. As I mentioned earlier, it's widely known and has even become a stereotype or source of jokes for stand-up comics that there are many outsource companies in India doing business with U.S. companies. India has one of the largest selections of outsourcing companies in the world. However, you should keep in mind that just because it's one of the largest doesn't necessarily mean it's the best, in particular for the specific needs and wants of you and your company. The reasons for India having such a large outsourcing industry are varied. For one thing, there's simply the size of the nation. India has well over 1 billion people, which allows them to have a tremendous pool of human resources. Additionally, in the 1990s and early 2000s, there was a vast amount of venture capitalists and corporations who were heavily invested in computer programming and other related activities, which in part was spurred by the big Y2K scare. Remember that? Yeah, never happened. At any rate, what did happen was all of these executives and those firms developed a knowledge and comfort level with India. Then, in the early 2000s, VoIP, or Voice over Internet Protocol, became a viable means of communication. So these people that were already accustomed to India decided to locate new outsourcing ventures and customer service and call centers in India. In order to make these operations palatable to American consumers, there were huge efforts to educate Indian outsource employees on American ways, customs, and history. They even tried giving them American names like John and Steve. Well, despite these best efforts, these Indian employees had a very strong accent, and that's how the joke was born that whenever you call an American company, someone from India answers the phone. While India is an amazing country, and for certain kinds of companies might offer excellent outsourcing opportunities, it's interesting to note that all of the large Indian outsourcing companies now have Philippine strategies. Now, that's a pretty strong signal that if your needs are in the area of customer service and other voice-based support operations, the Philippines is very likely your best option. India has a very rich and defined culture. They have their own movie industry, you know, Bollywood, and their own music. While this offers some intriguing opportunities from a personal perspective, it's actually a disadvantage when it comes to voice customer services. The problem is that because of these cultural differences, it's harder for Indian customer service reps to really connect with their American customers. Because their culture's so different, they don't understand the American perspective. It's this relating that plays a large part in the overall perceived experience for the customer. For example, a Philippine-based customer service rep is much more likely to understand a joke that an American customer might make on the phone than an Indian rep. He just doesn't get the joke, and it leads to a perception of disconnection. While certainly most companies are not looking to set up joke hotlines, the connection between the customer and the service rep are crucial. Inevitably, what happens is the Indian customer service rep tends to come off as robotic or mechanical, as if they're just reading off of a screen with no interest or emotion. The reason why the Philippines is so different is that this nation was a former American colony. Many of the institutions, even their constitution, was greatly influenced by Americans. In fact, most of the major newspapers in the Philippines are available only in English. This also goes for the majority of major TV stations. They broadcast only in English. The reality is that although English is not the native language, it is highly prevalent. Interestingly enough, the Philippines is the third largest English-speaking country in the world in terms of population. So what this means is that while the Philippines is the number two largest outsourcing destination behind India, in the eyes of American consumers and small business owners, it's virtually unknown in comparison to the reputation that India has built. So is the Philippines safe? Well, the subject of safety is one of reasonable concern to all American citizens and companies. I personally feel that cities in the Philippines are safer than in the United States. Unfortunately, the Philippines gets very little press coverage, other than an occasional mention of some very minimal Islamic movements. But the truth is, the risk of any type of terrorist attack in the Philippines is far less than in the United States, which is a coveted target of terrorists. It seems like every day in the American press, there's news of some new terrorist plot or a weakness in our civil defense systems that's uncovered. The fact is that it is only a very small portion of the Philippines that is close to places like Indonesia that have any such activities at all. People tend to forget that the Philippines is comprised of over 7,000 individual islands. So if an isolated incident happens in a remote island location, it has no bearing on the daily lives of the majority of residents in the major population areas. The only isolated incidents of violence with foreigners in the Philippines have been things like a few random kidnappings. But you must keep in mind that the victims were generally Mormons or evangelical Christians who traveled by boat for as long as 7 days to get to isolated Philippine islands, where they intrude by trying to push their religious beliefs on Muslims. These people have chosen to put themselves in these situations and to ignore warnings from the United States and Philippine governments that going into these remote areas isn't safe. It's just common sense. If Muslim extremists publicly declare that you will be kidnapped if you invade their territory and preach other religious beliefs, then it's clearly not safe to go. However, this doesn't mean that the Philippines are any more dangerous than the United States. After all, if you go to South Central L.A. and decide to hold a rally to recruit new members for the KKK, there's a pretty good chance you're going to end up in somebody's trunk there, too. Then, when you compare the statistics of violent attacks and terrorism between India and the Philippines, violence in India is much more prevalent. There are many tragic train bombs that kill scores of civilians, and there's civil unrest and military activity in the Kashmir region with the tension between India and Pakistan. My experience with the Philippine population has been nothing but exceptionally pleasant. In fact, the Philippine people are known as a very friendly culture that goes out of its way to please people and make them feel welcome. It's this reputation that has led to the outsourcing industry growing so much in the Philippines. Because the population is known to be a hard-working, dedicated people, foreign companies have been flocking to capitalize on this opportunity. The outsource boom has been so tremendous that a little over 20% of the population is employed right now by foreign companies. You know, there are some misperceptions regarding infrastructure. Some people think that a country like India has a much stronger infrastructure than the Philippines, but nothing could be further from the truth. When you speak to people in India, you hear that there's vast shortages of basic necessities like power and water. And that leaves two options for outsource companies located in India. Either they can just hope that it all works out, and if the client ends up getting screwed, well, that's too bad. Or they can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars investing in expensive generators and other safeguards. Naturally, this money will be reflected in higher prices that you, as an outsource client, will have to pay. Now, in some industries that outsource, the loss of power might not be so critical. For example, if you had an outsource company that was creating websites, well, losing power for a day or two wouldn't be good, but it would be likely made up the next day or two with no great loss. But if you're outsourcing voice-based needs like customer call centers, then losing power for a day could be catastrophic. Can you imagine if a small business was to invest tens of thousands of dollars into a large direct response campaign on TV, and when the advertising ran, the call center went down? The TV station isn't going to rerun all of those ads for free to make up for the loss. Why should they? Wasn't their fault the call center went down. A catastrophic event like this could simply put a small business under for good. In addition to the Philippines, there are other sound destinations for outsource centers, like Costa Rica and the Dominican Republic. However, the only real benefit for destinations like this is if there's a large number of Spanish-speaking customers. And in some businesses, there would be, since the latest estimate puts the number of Spanish-speaking people in the U.S. at about 18%. So, for some businesses that cater to this clientele, it could make sense to consider a two-destination solution, using the Philippines for the English-speaking customers and a destination like Costa Rica or the Dominican Republic for the Spanish-language customers. Nevertheless, the cost savings in outsourcing to a place like Costa Rica are minimal, since the average prices there might be like 20% lower than America, whereas in the Philippines, costs are frequently as little as 10% of the costs as in the U.S. For example, if you call a company like UPS and are given a menu that states push one for English and two for Spanish, there's a pretty fair shot that if you push for the Spanish language option, your call could very well be getting forwarded to a place like Costa Rica or the Dominican Republic. So you can't help but think that if these destinations could also do the best job with the English customer call centers, that all of the work would be outsourced to these countries. There's also some outsourcing opportunities in Eastern European destinations in fields like high-tech computer programming, animation, website optimization, and SEO. There's been some recent studies released by outside research firms that confirm what I've just shared with you. The fact is, Indian companies are outsourcing their voice services to the Philippines. After all, if the Philippines wasn't so superior in this area, why would they do that? And there are companies like Dell that transferred their customer service from India back to Ohio in the U.S., only to then relocate it again to the Philippines. Some of the reasons that the Philippines offer these advantages are that in India there tends to be a long and grueling training regimen needed, recruiting and placement are slower, and there's been recent inflation that has put pressure on prices to rise in general, and this has led to higher outsourcing pricing. So, for voice services, India may not be the best choice. But, you know, there are certain kinds of companies that could benefit from using Indian-based outsourcing companies. The reason for that is that India has a large percentage of its population that's highly educated. So, for certain platforms like programming, coding, animation, and other really complicated business processes, India could be a better choice. For Tier 1 companies in India, you're looking at ranges from $16 to $30 an hour per person. At the high end of these price points, you should be able to get highly skilled workers with graduate business, science, or other relevant degrees. Of course, the Philippines is half the cost. So, how do you go about finding an outsourcing company? Well, you could go on the web, and you could go to a major search site and use a search term like outsourcing, but I think you'll find that'll be too broad. You'll likely get many results from domestic and Canadian companies. To narrow the search, you can include the name of the country that you'd like to have your outsourcing company located in. And at this point, you probably know my personal choice is the Philippines, but don't feel pressured to choose that. There are many excellent outsource options in many other countries as well. Since it's your business, you should choose the place that you feel most comfortable with. Once you do your search, narrowed by the country, you'll still likely get an abundance of outsourced firms. So the next step will be to interview the different companies to narrow it down. I recommend creating a checklist beforehand that lists all the items that are important to you. When you're talking with these outsourced companies, you should be very specific about what qualities you want in your employees. The more specific you are about it, the more likely it is they'll be able to deliver. The interesting thing is that here in the U.S., there are some fairly heavy-handed restrictions on what you can ask and on what parameters you can set for the criteria for your employees. For example, here in the U.S., it's not permitted in most cases to discriminate by sex or age. Now, I'm not saying that you should unethically discriminate, but sometimes there might be real business reasons why you want employees that are of a certain age or gender. But in the U.S., you cannot not hire someone because they're the wrong sex. But overseas, the whole playing field is different. You're in charge, and you can ask for whatever kind of employees you want. Do you want all females to answer your phone? No problem. Do you want all of your employees to be under 25? No problem. You should also specify what times you will want these people to work. I want people with sales experience or call center experience. The list is almost endless. Maybe you need people that are experienced with Microsoft Word or Excel. Maybe you need people with payroll or accounting experience. The bottom line is, you can choose the exact type of employee that you want. Here in the United States, we're so used to having to accept what's available or simply too afraid to ask for what we want because we don't want to be sued. But overseas, it's a whole different ballgame, so make sure you're very clear about what you want when you speak with your prospective outsourcing company. What you want is what you get. It's my opinion that if you're going to be hiring someone to work for your company, then you should be able to interview them yourself. I should tell you that not every outsourcing company will let you do this, so make sure you work with a company that will. You should also make sure that you understand what all of the costs are and how you will pay them. For me personally, I like working with a company that takes credit cards because I can earn miles. So it's like an extra bonus. Not only am I saving a ton of money on my labor costs, but I'm accumulating quite a few frequent flyer miles as well. Another very important factor to ask about is if there is any American management at their site. If a problem does arise, it's really helpful to have an American there to deal with, as they help bridge communication problems that could be cultural in nature. An American entrepreneurial type of guy is going to be able to relate to you and help make sure that your needs are understood. In fact, if you remember, my outsource effort had a few bumps in it. I really feel that if I hadn't been talking with a guy who was an American who really understood what my needs were, that I might not have continued with outsourcing. The most likely companies to have American management are the larger outsource companies, although it's possible to find some smaller ones that do. One really important key is to make sure that the American management is actually on site. Many times you can be talking to someone who's never even been to these other countries. They're simply middlemen who are brokering the services. So when you have issues that you need help with, these people won't be able to do the job with you because they won't have a clue as to what's actually taking place. So confirm that the management is really on site. So how big should your outsource company be? Really, more important than the size of your outsource company is if they have a demonstrated track record of being able to successfully manage the business processes of companies with needs similar to your company. After all, these companies will be running actual business functions for your business, so it's critical for your business that they can show they're going to be able to do the job well. So the specific size of the outsource company isn't a critical factor in your decision-making process. However, you should keep in mind that the larger companies are, in general, going to have higher rates per hour and may not offer as much of a savings compared to what you can procure locally. The key is to keep the search going until you find the right outsource company that offers the best mix of services and price that matches your company's needs. Having said that, you want to make sure that any company you choose is large enough to have the resources to get the job done for you. After all, you're dealing with companies that are in a developing economy. For example, you need a company that will have the right internet connections. The kind of powerful connections you'll need could run a company $2,000 a month. And they should also have redundant connections, and this can run an additional $2,000 a month. So for a company to have this capability, it's got to be large enough to be able to have these kinds of resources. I've seen situations where a 20-seat call center went out of business because for 3 weeks its DSL was down, and by the time they'd gotten it fixed, all the clients had left. The same could go for something as basic as electricity. If that company doesn't have a backup generator, that could put that outsource company and your company in a very perilous position. The outsource company you use should also be established enough to have an effective human resource system in place. You want to have a company that has a good flow of potential workers at all times, because if you lose a worker, you can't afford it to take 3 weeks to find a replacement. In addition, you want your outsource company to be able to grow with you and add workers easily as you need them. Although there's no magic number of employees that will tell you whether a company is right for you, if you want to have a number as a guideline, I suggest using companies that have between 100 and 500 seats if your company will need between 1 and 100 employees. Now, my reasoning on this is that a company with at least 100 seats will likely have the resources to be able to provide the security I mentioned. On the other side of the equation, I suggest the maximum level of 500 seats, simply because I think it's a good idea that your company generates a reasonable percentage of the outsource company's revenues. If you're a company that will need 20 employees, and you're dealing with an outsource company that has 6,000 seats, the reality is your company's going to have a limited value to that outsource company, and you simply won't have much clout when you make requests or have special needs. So, what companies are using outsourcing? Well, our current client list isn't restricted to any particular industry. In fact, there's a broad spectrum of clients: e-commerce firms, insurance companies, insurance agents, pharmaceutical companies, medical advice companies. All different kinds of businesses are now outsourcing their personnel needs through our company. Now, here's another really important aspect of outsourcing. Who is in the outsource company? You need to know who will be running things for your business. To get an idea of how an outsource firm is structured, Let's take a look at our company as an example. My partner and I are at the top of the pyramid. We head up the firm. Below us are six different middle managers. There's also a human resources manager who oversees the recruitment and hiring of outsourced employees. Naturally, there's an accounting manager that handles payroll and bookkeeping, a vice president of marketing, and a chief operating officer round out the corporate structure. With this extensive management team supervising all the daily activities, we make sure our clients get the service they expect. The company you choose should do the same. So when you're looking around for an outsourced company, you should see if their operation has the same kind of extensive layers of infrastructure. So what happens once the service agreement is signed? At our company, when a service agreement is received from a client, either that day or first thing the next morning, a representative will reach out to the client to let them know that the agreement's been received. And on that call, the client's told that a human resources representative will be contacting them to discuss in detail what the requirements will be for the workers and find out when the client will be available for interviews. The outsourced company will likely have preferences for the ideal time to conduct the interviews. Well, since our company is in the Philippines, we prefer to conduct the interviews in the morning, U.S. time. So our applicants over here are coming in typically late at night, like 9 or 10 p.m., to have a chance to be interviewed. And the longer they wait around at our facility, the more tired they become. While the prospective employees are most definitely eager to work, like anyone, once they become highly fatigued, they'll lose some of their performance capability. This problem vanishes if they secure a position because then they adjust their schedule to whatever the requirements of the employer are. Once a candidate is chosen by the client, the outsourced company, in collaboration with the client, begins whatever training the new employee will need. That might be learning software programs, company policies, products, or whatever else is needed to get the job done effectively. We work with the client to select the most effective communication method. That typically includes email, text instant messaging, video instant messaging, and local U.S. voice and fax telephone lines. The most common method for clients to train the new employees is by telephone. Although a client certainly welcome to travel to our facility and train employees in person, in my own personal experience, I found I was able to quite easily train my employees with the various remote methods. However, I've got to say that when I did need to travel overseas, I was quite pleased with the amenities. A luxury hotel with all the comforts of a good American hotel is available only a few steps away from our facility. And we have a good relationship with that hotel, so our clients receive a preferred price and service. The food is also a pleasant surprise. It's delicious and quite reasonably priced. Now, what if changes need to be made? Well, the majority of the time the chosen employee does work out for the client, there may be times when the client isn't satisfied with the job that a particular employee is doing. At our company, our perspective is that although a particular employee may have been chosen for the job at hand, it's our client that's paying for the service. So if an employee isn't cutting it, we'll quickly respond and do what's needed. The company you choose should do the same. If a new replacement's requested by the client, new candidates will be available to interview, sometimes as quickly as a matter of hours, or at most a couple days. Our company can do this because we have a huge pool of applicants and a well-honed machine to process the human resource needs of the client. Finding a company with a well-oiled human resource mechanism is a very important factor when choosing your outsourced company. Also, it's understood that the needs of the client may change. There may be a need to add or reduce employees, and your outsourcing company should be prepared to make adjustments and work with you to make sure your needs are always being met. The company you choose should be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So whatever time you need the workers to be scheduled, it's not a problem. This can be an important factor for certain kinds of businesses, such as a, 24-hour security guard company that needs to have reps available at all times for any incoming calls. Plus, there's a lot of flexibility within reason in regards to the actual hours worked by the employees. While the common work schedule there is, like here, 5 8-hour days a week, there's some flexibility, so that if a client needs a variation from the standard schedule, it's not a problem to provide that. Now, here's what you need to know about taxes and insurance. As you know, there's two things that are always certain, death and taxes. But there are ways to minimize taxes, and outsourcing offers some extraordinary opportunities to do just that. One of the huge benefits that's frequently overlooked by people considering outsourcing is the potential savings in many areas besides just the lower wages. By outsourcing your staff, you could save a fortune with costs like withholding taxes, unemployment taxes, liability insurance, and workers' compensation. In these foreign domiciles, you don't need to make contributions to 401k plans, health insurance, IRAs, or any of the other expensive employee benefits that are generally expected by workers in the U.S. Quite often, all of these additional costs can actually equate to $4 or $5 per man-hour worked. By capitalizing on both the lower costs of foreign domiciles and benefiting from the efficiencies that the outsourced company can provide, your savings can be so much that, well, like you're getting an extra free employee. So to wrap it up, I'd like to say that outsourcing has made my businesses and our clients' businesses much more profitable. And I'm confident it can do the same for you. Outsourcing will most assuredly save you big money and help you compete in today's global economy. So why don't you drop me a line and let me know about all your successes. My email address is davin@123employee.com. That's davin@123employee.com. Hey, thanks for listening. Welcome to the bonus section of this audio program. Ultimately, no matter what company you choose to work with, the odds are you're going to have a great experience with outsourcing. But just like with virtually all business experiences, there are going to be ups and downs. Nevertheless, in the long run, you're going to save so much money and have so much more efficient employees that you'll be able to expand your business. It's our belief that you're going to be so happy with your outsource experience that you're going to want to share this information with friends and other business acquaintances. Well, naturally, it depends on which outsource company you choose, but we believe that our company is the best choice. And to sweeten the pie a bit, we've created a program where you can bring in some extra revenue just for doing your friends the favor of letting them in on the secret of outsourcing. We've created a reseller program. All you have to do is make the referral, and we do the rest. The best thing about this program is that the income is recurring because we pay you each month your referral continues to do business with us. It's a flat commission fee. If you want some details about this, go to our website at www.123employee.com. Just click on the affiliate tab, and it'll walk you through the simple steps that will have more income flowing into your coffers for doing nothing more than helping people like you save money and improve their profitability too.
Thanks for listening to Outsource This, written by Davin Michaels and read by Rick Glaspie. For more information on outsourcing, please visit us at www.123employee.com or call us at 866-549-1296.